I was very determined to committing the attack. I only foresaw two outcomes to planning the attack, which was either getting caught by the police early or having committed the actual attack. Initially, as I was browsing online, I came across some gore videos, and that in turn made me fascinated with violence and gore. And I went to actively search for gore sites. I came across Brenton Tarrant's live stream of the Christchurch mosque attacks. And that's when I, as a curious teenager, decided to delve more in as to why he conducted such an attack and why he filmed it. That's when I came across Brenton Tarrant's manifesto, The Great Replacement, which talked about how the Muslims were colluding to replace the population. And my personal adaptation of the Great Replacement theory was that the Muslims in Singapore, because of their relatively higher birth rates, would end up surpassing the number of Christians in Singapore. And that in turn would lead to the Muslims imposing Sharia law on the non-Muslims in Singapore. I was at the time frequenting a lot of the gore websites, so I was desensitized to what was happening in the live stream video. I did not really realize the severity of what was happening. And because of my fascination in violence, I don't think I ever realized or thought of it as radicalization. The point that made me want to commit the attack and see the sense of urgency was the Nice attacks in October 2020. That was when I started to plan the attacks. I believe that whatever I planned to do was completely justified, that there was a threat that was salient, and I was somebody who wanted to address that threat. I started to have a slightly negative view of Muslims from the 2015 Paris attacks when I was in primary school. I came across it through a newspaper, and at the time I didn't exactly view Muslims with hostility, but I saw them in negative light. So I continued to have Muslim friends during my primary school years. But during my secondary school years, I slowly had less close relations with Muslim friends. At the time when I was detained, the first feeling that I had was that I was shocked that they would intercept me that quickly. I was also disappointed that I could not commit the attacks. I was detained for 3 years. I felt that society thought that my views were wrong, but even though that were the case, I felt that my views were not only justified, but that they were the truth, and that people wouldn't understand what I had to say and what I believed. I wanted to find a sense of belonging, and what the far-right extremist content did was it gave me a false sense of self-actualization. The sense of purpose that far-right extremism gave me was very appealing for me as a teenager because I wanted to be bigger than myself. My family found out about my plans after I was detained, and it was through somebody else. I wasn't the person who told them. Going into rehabilitation, I initially had the assumption that it would be very punitive, but what surprised me was that there was a lot of support from the various stakeholders, from the case officers to the psychologists, and they were willing to help me with not only correcting my ideology, but also in helping me with managing my emotions and regulating them, coping better with life challenges. There was a turning point during the detention phase. It was the joint religious counseling hosted by Pastor Joachim and Ustaz Rizal, an accredited Ustaz. During the meeting, I was able to clarify doubts regarding Islam and regarding Muslims in Singapore. Prior to the detention, I saw Muslims as violent and aggressive, and whenever they weren't, I had a very cynical view of them. During the rehabilitation, I met various stakeholders, and many of them were Muslims. They treated me well, with genuine kindness and compassion. Many of them were volunteers who took time and energy to come down and to support me in the best they can. The aspect of the rehabilitation that helped me the most would be the weekly family visits that I had. I think support from my family was quintessential in my rehabilitation journey, realizing that my parents would take the time out of their day to come down to visit me and to give me the support that I really needed in such a difficult phase of life. I think I couldn't have gone through the journey without them. And I really appreciate whatever they've done and sacrificed for me. Today, my interactions with Muslims are much better than it was before in detention. For instance, my current studies in a tertiary institution, the first friend that I made was a Muslim, and I've been friends with him to this day. And some of my friends are Muslim, and they've been treating me with care and compassion, and I've been reciprocating. One advice that I wish I had received was to make the effort to interact with Muslims more. Had I known Muslims for who they truly were, I would not have fallen into this vicious cycle. I think there was definitely a chasm between the way Muslims were being portrayed online by far-right extremists and the Muslims who are going about their day-to-day life contributing to society. With parents, one advice that I would give them is they need to realize that the youth of today are a lot more attuned to what is happening around the world. They have their own opinions shaped by social media. What parents can do is to provide them with that safe avenue for them to voice their opinions in a way that is not judgmental and without prejudice, and in a way that doesn't label them or restrict their speech. With youths out there, one advice that I would give them is to be more discerning of the information that they receive online and to be willing to consider conflicting perspectives on issues.